In 2086, two peaceful aliens journeyed to Earth, seeking our help. In return, they gave us the plans for our first hyperdrive, allowing mankind to open the doors to the stars. We have assembled a team of unique individuals to protect Earth and our allies, courageous pioneers committed to the highest ideals of justice and dedicated to preserving law and order across the new frontier. These are the adventures of the Galaxy Rangers.
All right, action fans, you are back in the action room, and we, surprisingly enough, are also back in the action room. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tony Wolf.
I never leave. I'm always here.
That's right. That's producer Mike.
Oh, producer Mike.
He never leaves. Action listeners. Okay, so later on in the show, we'll have a terrific interview with Fred Van Lente, a famous Marvel Comics writer, and also the original writer of the graphic novel Cowboys and Aliens, which, of course, is being made into a major motion picture. He'll be in our studio in the action room, and we're very excited to have him.
A major motion picture with Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Spielberg is producing it.
Directed by Jon Favreau.
Mr. Iron Man. So.
Olivia Wilde, the new Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Probably a much better actress than Megan Fox.
No, it's
and Daniel Craig.
It's pretty unbelievable. Like I'm
it's
thinking
be huge.
We need to come up with some kind of mixed genre idea like Cowboys and Aliens and just
right.
sell it. Like vampire musical,
scientists and Eskimos.
That's good. But like a genre though, cuz their thing is a western.
No, scientists and Eskimos actually sucks. yes, what is the genre? Do you have any other?
Well, there's westerns, there's drama, action, adventure, comedy,
film noir,
gangster
film noir
thing.
Detective meets zombies.
Zombie gangster.
Zombie gangster.
Like that. Like a zombie Scarface. Scarface.
Zombie Scarface, folks. TM the action room. TM and C in a circle. All right.
Hello to my little brains. Or something. I don't know.
Say hello to my little brains. Right. Then a dinosaur comes out because they have small brains. Anyway. Awesome. Brilliant. So, speaking of brilliant, we also have a very brilliant mind in the studio. That was a top in the top segue montage in December of this year. We're going to have that.
There was no net there, and you did it.
There was no net. Tony Wolf flying without a net. Well, speaking of brilliant, many of you may already know that Professor Stephen Hawking was in the news recently talking about the likelihood that if we ever made contact with alien life, they would be very likely to be a conquering race of aliens and want to destroy us and take over. So that sent fear through a great many sci-fi fan out there.
And so I put on my producer cap, which is always on, and
you
I
made
got
some phone calls.
Yes, and I got Mr. Professor Stephen Hawking himself, and he's in the studio right now.
Wow, Stephen Hawking. We are truly honored to have theoretical physicist and legend, the modern Albert Einstein, Professor Stephen Hawking, here live in the Action Room studio. Thank you so much for joining us, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So your recent comments about aliens being likely to want to take over the world, it's really raised some eyebrows. Professor, how can you be so certain about this?
If aliens visit us, the outcome would be much as when Columbus landed in America, which didn't turn out well for the Native Americans.
True dat.
We only have to look at ourselves to see how intelligent life might develop into something we wouldn't want to meet.
Well, Stephen, we actually have a little surprise for you. We made some more phone calls, and we have here in the studio Bloopzorp. Bloopzorp is an actual alien from the planet Blobnort Z, and he's here to have a very civil debate with you about what his alien race plans to do with the planet Earth.
We come in peace.
See, Professor? There's no need to worry.
Just kidding. We don't come in peace. I just always wanted to say that.
Wait a minute. Professor Hawking is right? You're saying you plan on conquering and colonizing the entire planet Earth?
Damn straight, geek brain.
I have an idea. Why doesn't the professor and Bloobzorp try to come to some kind of an agreement?
That's a great idea, Producer Mike. How does that sound, guys?
Fine.
Fine.
So, Bloobzorp, what would it take for you not to invade our planet?
You hand over Justin Bieber. He sings like an angel, and his hair is perfection.
Deal.
Well, that wasn't so bad.
Ha ha ha.
What's so funny, Bloobzorp?
Professor Stupid.
He's got a gun! Oh man, Stephen Hawking's brain's all over my wall. Oh, I think I got a jar here somewhere I can put it in.
Oh well, I guess that didn't work out. When we come back, Fred Van Lente. All right, fans, we are back in the action room, and we're here with our very special guest, Mr. Fred Van Lente.
Woo!
Woo.
Woo. Thank you for coming to the action room, Fred.
Well, thank you for having me, along with your studio audience.
That's right. There's a multitude of individuals just outside the studio. So, Fred, you've been called, quote, one of the most idiosyncratic and insightful new voices in comics. Isn't it great when the words of Wikipedia are actually heard out loud?
It makes them real. You're painting the word picture.
Well, I've personally been a big fan of your work for years. I remember writing fan emails to you about early issues of Action Philosophers.
Excellent.
Which was great.
I remember them well.
You also have written Incredible Hercules, many of the Hulk books, many of the Spider-Man books. You created the Scorpion for Marvel, the new Scorpion. Marvel Zombies, X-Men Noir. Very prolific, Fred.
Keeps me off the streets.
So the graphic novel that everyone's talking about now, something you did several years ago, Cowboys and Aliens, which is currently being adapted into a feature film produced by Steven Spielberg, directed by Jon Favreau, someone that many comic fans adore, and starring Daniel Craig, Olivia Wilde, and, wait for it, Harrison Ford. Let's just take a breath. Let's just take a breath for a moment. So we're just very curious about this. So Cowboys and Aliens, published by Platinum Studios in 2006, they say they're an entertainment company. They control, quote, the world's largest independent library of comic book characters. They adapt them for film, television, other media. The chairman of Platinum Studios is Scott Mitchell Rosenberg.
Was that also on Wikipedia?
Yes. Well, we also went to their actual site. And there's another site called Drunk Duck that hosts Cowboys and Aliens website. In any case, so tell us the story of this incredible journey, Fred. Take us through the wild ride when Scott Mitchell Rosenberg, who is this man? How did you meet him? He comes to you with the idea for this book, and 4 years later, it's going to be this immense thing.
Well, Scott founded a company called Malibu Comics.
Oh, Malibu.
That a lot of people are familiar with. And he was really tight with the Image creators. He was one of the instrumental people in founding Image Comics. I think Malibu actually distributed Malibu originally.
Wow.
And he was one of the pioneers in, of all things, or at least Malibu, I should say, was one of the pioneers in computer coloring comics. Mm. And so,
and they were like kind of like a 90s, late 80s, 90s indie company.
Yes. Late 80s, I think, is when they were founded. And then Marvel actually bought them in in the mid-90s.
Because they had that character Prime.
They had the
Norm
character
Breifogel
Prime. And in fact, my first ever published Marvel work was a fill-in issue of Prime.
Wow.
Volume 2, number 5.
Wow.
Seek it out, kids.
They bought all those characters.
Hit the quarter bin, folks, and score that rare gem.
Okay, so he's part of Malibu and Image.
And then he sold it to Marvel, and then he founded Platinum not long thereafter. One of Malibu's titles was called Men in Black.
Oh, right. They did Men in Black comic.
And Scott shepherded that through the Hollywood minefield and got that produced. And so they came up with Cowboys and Aliens in 98, 99, something like that.
So they had the film history connection.
Was this part of a deal that they had set where they wanted to see more properties
developed?
That they could buy? Or?
I would imagine. That's kind of outside my area of knowledge. But I came on the project 2000, 2001, and I wrote my draft of the... They had a lot of the characters down. I kind of fleshed out a lot of the Native American characters and the Anglo and alien characters. and I sort of did the basic plot, and I wrote them a full script, and I turned that in the day before I got married, actually.
Wow. A good omen.
And next year, my wife and I will be celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary.
Very nice.
That's how...
Studio audience.
Thank you very much. So that sort of gives you an idea of how long that project was has been kicking around.
Right. So, Cowboys and Aliens, obviously great high concept. We know the pitch, but what don't we know about Cowboys and Aliens, the plot, beyond the fact that it's Cowboys and Aliens? Like, how would you...
Well, there are also Indians in there, and that's sort of the important part. That's the metaphorical part,
obviously.
Do they
ally themselves with...
The idea is that the settlers are moving in on Indian territory, and their struggle with each other is interrupted by this flying saucer, in essence, crashing on their turf. And this is run by an impressive alien empire, and the muckety-muck on the spaceship looks out over the Arizona plains and says, "Hey, free planet!" and goes about conquering it, and the cowboys and Native Americans have to sort of figure out how to defeat this vastly technologically superior conquest-oriented, natural resources-minded...
So has Stephen Hawking read this?
Does he surf Drunk Duck a lot?
I think so.
Does he get that on this thing?
He gets drunk while surfing Drunk
Duck.
There
you go.
No, it's just ironic you should come out recently with all the talk about aliens taking over the Earth. And, what do you think about that? Do you think if we found intelligent life forms that's the inevitability?
I think what's far more terrifying is we are the most advanced life form in the universe.
There is nothing else.
Which, even if there was, that they would be helpless against us. Which, frankly, I shudder to think.
They haven't met McDonald's branding power.
Yeah, I shudder for the Martians of the universe if they run into us.
Okay, so at what point did news about the film being optioned, the comic being optioned into a film, start to hit... take us to John Favreau, get
it's been optioned a couple times. I think in as early as 2004 they came that close to signing a deal.
It's a long journey.
Yeah, and then Robert Downey Jr. got attached in, '08.
Oh, pre-Favreau.
Yeah, Downey who brought Favreau in, and so the Marvel guys were making... Originally, that apparently was going to jeopardize the Iron Man 2 schedule, so the Marvel guys making fun of me, and, nice job, Brad.
you ruined everything.
But then, they ended up doing Iron Man 2 first, and I think Robert dropped out to do Sherlock Holmes 2.
Right.
And Daniel Craig replaced him, which is cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
And here we are.
So, in your Marvel work, you're part of the Hulk writing team and also the Hercules writing team.
I am more of an advisor at this point to the Hulk writing team. But yeah, I'm tight with all those guys. It was great to be in the room with Jeff Parker and Jeff Loeb and Greg when they were coming up with the current World War Hulk storyline.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately, I had to drop out due to scheduling issues.
And you're also writing the Iron Man spinoff book,
yes,
which I know is, a wonderful tie-in to the release of the film and Marvel's Iron Man push in general. It's Iron Man Legacy.
Yes.
So how would you summarize? Is it like... I've read a few things about it. Is it like Legends of the Dark Knight, Iron Man?
I think that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, it's timeless tales set different instances of Tony's history.
Right.
And it's sort of exploring his character and what he means to the world, and what Iron Man's legacy means to the Marvel Universe.
And you're starting off with a Doctor Doom, Iron Man kind of thing?
Yes. It appears in War of the Iron Man, which is the storyline currently running, that Doctor Doom has somehow engineered an attack of Iron Man on the small Marvel nation of Transia.
Oh, is this the first appearance of Transia?
It is not.
Okay.
Transia is sort of woven in and out of Marvel history. It's where... the Scarlet Witch and
Quicksilver were born.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's,
wow.
It contains Wundagore Mountain, which is a high evolutionary.
Now my brain lights up. Yes. Wundagore. Well, now you say Wundagore Mountain.
And that may have something to do with Iron Man Legacy.
Wundagore Mountain.
It may not be
Mountain?
A coincidence that Transia is involved in there.
So anything else you'd like to tell us about your upcoming work? I know Marvel Zombies. There's more Marvel Zombies ahead for you.
Marvel Zombies 5 is currently coming out. It's Aaron Stack, Machine Man, jumping between worlds with his sidekick Howard the Duck.
Nice.
Blowing
a
away.
Better buddy cop team you couldn't get.
Exactly. Blowing away zombies in Camelot in a cyberpunk world.
Wow.
In the Old West in Killraven, the War of the Worlds.
Killraven.
Which is exciting.
That's a hell of a pitch.
And it's coming up.
Fred, thanks so much for coming into the show.
Thank you, no problem.
We really appreciate it, and I'm glad it worked out so that you could be in studio.
I know, it's very exciting. And
it's like in situ for sculptors.
It's amazing because it's this vast Madison Square Garden-esque cavernous interior.
Gleaming and metallic and shiny. State of the art.
I'm surprised you're able to march all these people in here at gunpoint.
Well, some coercion is, you know, necessary.
The gun
sometimes.
Isn't loaded.
Oh, excellent.
All right, thank you so much, Fred Van Lente, for coming into the Action Room.
And thanks to the audience.
All right,
thank you, studio audience.
We'll be back with the Nerd News.
We'll come right back with the Nerd News. You know what it's time for now, Action fans? It's time for... hey, Producer Mike, why isn't the Nerd News intro playing?
I'm sorry. Steve Jobs just bought the Action Room, and he's not allowing for Flash on the iPad.
Oh, man.
He's not allowing for Flash on the Action Room. So I can't play the intro the way I normally did, but I just got a new one, and it's through HTML5. So here we go. Here's the intro.
Nerd News.
So this episode, we have one item for the Nerd News. That's all you're getting. Has Steve Jobs made enemies by banning Flash from the iPad?
Has he gone crazy?
Has he gone mad? Well, this is what Steve Jobs had to say in an essay that he wrote, presumably him personally, on the Apple site.
It's called Thoughts on Flash. Now, this was a lot longer, but this was just the conclusion part of it.
And he's not writing about Wally West or Barry Allen, folks. he says, and I quote, Flash was created during the PC era for PCs and mice. Flash is a successful business for Adobe, and we can understand why they want to push it beyond PCs. But the mobile era is all about low-power devices, touch interfaces, and open web standards, all areas where Flash falls short.
Ooh.
Ooh, that was the first body blow, left, uppercut. Earlier in the article, I just want to add as a P.S., Steve Jobs says, we've done business with Adobe. We used to partner with Adobe. We have nothing against Adobe. But here's why Adobe Flash sucks. The avalanche of media outlets offering their content for Apple's mobile devices demonstrates that Flash is no longer necessary to watch video or consume any kind of web content. It's kind of an all-encompassing statement by Steve. And the 200,000 apps on Apple's App Store prove that Flash isn't necessary for tens of thousands of developers to create graphically rich applications, including games. And I guess me as a listener, I feel like, but every game of the last 12 years is Flash.
Okay, but it's
I just
changing.
Feel like you're spitting on the legacy of Flash. New open standards. Oh, this is his other big argument, is that Flash is not more of an open source kind of technology. And actually, he says, in the article, he says, Adobe is not sharing. It's not open. But then, of course, he knows that the reader is going to go, you don't share. You have a monopoly, and that's why you're a millionaire on a lot of things. And he goes, but we know we don't share a lot, too. But there are some things we do share. And he goes on to list, I'll note, a few programs that I think are kind of obscure.
Like
or
what?
Maybe only super hardcore tech geeks know them.
Well, yeah, programming.
HTML5 and some other crap. I don't know. No one knows HTML5.
All right, well, he ends it with,
new open standards created in the mobile era, such as HTML5, like Brainiac 5, will win on mobile devices and PCs too. I think when you're Steve Jobs, you just get to say what will win in the world, and the world just has to follow suit. He says, perhaps Adobe, ooh, this is where he gets a little snide, Perhaps Adobe should focus more on creating great HTML5 tools for the future and less on criticizing Apple for leaving the past behind.
Ooh, snap!
Now, I love him. I'm not an Apple guy, but I love what he's trying to do. Yeah. I have been a fan of this aspect of there not being any Flash for a long time on the iPad, and I think it's a way for, yes, developers and everybody to kind of, you know, create new content and new ways to,
create
to
new
program
platforms,
new
yeah.
platforms and stuff, but it's a way for people to make money again. And Flash was kind of this way for no one to make any money anymore. You
right,
know, everyone
right.
was getting everything on YouTube for free and everything.
And this is similar to what happens with the music industry. When everything is free and everything is downloadable, no one makes any money.
But his angle was almost like that it's not as heavy, the coding, I guess, so it's,
oh,
it's
yeah,
a little
it's easier,
faster and
less
stuff.
Coding.
So, you know, he didn't, I think, come right out and say, hey, I want to make all the money, but it's kind of what he's saying because there wasn't being any money made before this. So
right.
this is I'm so excited for this.
But
this
HTML5
is
an open source, so I guess he's saying is we want people to create new platforms, new coding with this other
yeah, but
free
if,
source.
I don't know the specifics, but I think if anybody wants to now get something through them, they still have to pay some kind of subscription fee.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, if it's going to be games or it's going to be
right.
books or it's going to be, you know, whatever.
Why were you anti-Flash for a while?
No,
you
I wasn't,
used to make programs on
I
Flash.
Wasn't anti-Flash. I was anti-Flash in terms of... It's not even being anti-Flash. It's being anti-everything free.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And Steve is basically saying, look, this is going to come to an end. Not everything's going to be free anymore. You're going to do it my way. And if you do it my way,
right.
you're going to pay for it. And
right.
and this is the best way. And the only person that can tell someone like, you know, Adobe that, you know, things are going to change in this town is
right,
Steve Jobs.
Right,
you
right.
know?
He's like the sheriff.
Yeah, no, this is like
he's
the wild...
the outlaw.
The internet has been the wild, wild west, and now there's going to be law now.
There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Steve Jobs.
Pa-ching! So, this
all
is
right.
exciting.
Well, Steve has kind of made a career out of trying to be... not trying to be, successfully being an innovator and saying, guess what, world? This is what's next.
He saved music with iTunes. He kind of saved a lot of stuff with all his devices.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's the innovator, and now he's going to save, you know, I think companies, you know,
software developers,
profits and stuff by creating this.
And he's the guy who, when he made the Macintosh, didn't he pull aside the VP of Coke or one of the heads of Coke, and he said, "Do you want to change the world, or do you want to make sugar water all your life?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
No, exactly.
I mean, unbelievable.
He knows how to work people and piss them off.
Yes. So that's Steve Jobs in the Nerd News, and I believe we've come to the end of our episode about aliens and nerds and Steve Jobs.
A lot of Stevens. Stephen
a lot of
Jobs,
Steves.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. A lot of alien races, bent on world domination. Now, next episode, we have such an exciting treat for you. Helen will be back, our guest host Helen, who is also a cartoonist and musician. She has an amazing singing voice. She's a great guitar player.
And her site is HelenTunes.com.
HelenTunes.com. Producer Mike had the idea that she could do an acoustic 80s cartoon song medley for us.
Of intros.
Of the yeah. intro, yeah, cartoon theme songs. And she's come up with something so great. We're so excited to share it with you all. You must tune in Monday morning for our new episode.
She's going to come in live to sing it for us.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I'm excited.
So thanks so much, and we enjoyed having Fred Van Lente on the show. And Stephen Hawking as well, although we'll now have a funeral.
And Bloopzorp.
And Bloopzorp. How could we forget Bloopzorp, the great character find of 2010?
From Blopnort Z? What was it?
Blopnort Z? I believe so. So please.
One day we will just show the outtakes. We'll
yes.
just broadcast the outtakes.
Someday Jon Favreau will make a movie about Blopnort Z. All right, so thanks. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm producer Mike.
And that's it for the Action Room. We'll see you next episode.